This is the life, Gladys.
I love.
Not a care in the world. Just lying here on the beach, the sea lapping gently against the shore, the sun beating down. There's not a cloud in the sky. Switch the radio on, love. Let's listen to something soothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Ken Dodd Show.
Hi there, funny folk. Are you feeling funny? Welcome to Daddy's World of Whimsy. And today, we're celebrating the good things in life. But first, a word from our producer.
Hello, everybody. I'm laughing already.
But wait, because here now, without a stitch of clothing on, a banana sticking out of one ear and a parsnip in the other, strings of onions round his neck, festooned with globe artichokes, painted with beetroot juice, carrying the biggest cucumber you've ever seen, the one-man harvest festival, Ken Dodd!
Thank you. My dear demented friends, today we're celebrating the good things in life, folks. The good things in life, the good earth. And what it is to go down on your knees in the garden, scoop a handful of good black earth, sniff it and say, I'll kill that tomcat from next door. The harvest festival, the vicar singing high mass over a ton of sprouts. What it is to feel the affectionate touch of a dog's wet nose. First thing in the morning, as you crawl under the bed looking for your collar stud. Life is a great illusion, as the ferret said when he got lost in a Scotsman's kilt. And what are the arts? The great painters and artists. Van Gogh cutting his ear off and saying, thank goodness, now I'll be able to get my cap on. The good life. What is the good life? It's King Henry VIII grabbing half a chicken or a leg of lamb, taking a bite and throwing it over his shoulders to the dog. He did this all the time. He was the only English king to have an Alsatian weighing 5 tons. So go on, ladies. Early in the morning, throw open your window, take a deep breath and throw your chest out. Hopefully, I'll be waiting outside to catch it. A British Sunday. What a beautiful day on a Sunday for grabbing hold of the parson's nose and saying, let's have shorter sermons. In today's edifying extravaganza, we shall be asking questions like, if a duck gets caught short in the middle of the night, does it use a quack pot? Talfrin. Talfrin, you look a bit peaky. You look a bit peaky. Have an acorn.
An acorn? Look, mate, I might have teeth like a squirrel, but I don't eat like one.
Talfrin, you don't know what's good for you. This is all nature's bountiful goodness, this acorn.
It's muck, man. Vegetarian muck.
You can't live off the things you find in the countryside.
Well, of course you can. Well, sparrows do, don't they?
Oh, yes. But look how thin their legs are.
I love the countryside. Haven't you ever tasted a cowslip?
No, but I've trodden in one or two.
But don't you think the countryside is being spoiled in this industrial age?
In this industrial age?
Uh-huh.
Spoiled?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's quite true. It's quite true, Curly. Only the other day, I was leaning on a grassy knoll, quaffing a deep draught of ice-cold, sparkling water from a stream, and I thought, by Joe, this water tastes funny.
Uh-huh, and was it?
Well, I looked upstream, and I saw a troop of Boy Scouts running away from the banking.
Vegetarian rubbish, man. You can't beat a good thick steak.
Steak?
Yes.
Meat? Rubbish. I live off compost-grown fish fingers. Stone-ground lobscouse. And you'll never believe this, but I roll my own cucumbers. I have organic rissoles as well.
Ooh, yeah. Is it taxing?
See, Calvin, some people don't breathe right. See, when I breathe, I can feel it reaching down to my toes.
You can feel what reaching down to your toes?
Yoga, that's the thing. My brother's a yoga fanatic. In fact, only this morning, he invented a very unusual, brand new position which nobody's ever thought of.
How did he do that?
Well, I don't know. He'll probably tell us when we get his head out.
Now, folks, it's time to open the suggestion box. Our own suggestion box in which we invite listeners to send in their funny ideas. I'll just open the box. Well, now then, see, our first suggestion comes from a little boy in Harrow.
I suggest that sweetie shops be banned from selling toffee cigarettes for three reasons. Yeah. One, they're a bad influence on children. And two,
yes,
they're a job to light. And yes, three, they nearly give you a hernia trying to get a drag on them.
I think, Ken, what sort of an upbringing did you have?
Oh, happy, happy. Oh, we were happy. We were poor, but we were happy, you see. We were poor, but we made the best of it. You know, we could never afford much food. In fact, my brother was so thin, my dad used to keep him in a flute. I was happy, you see. They were hard times, but they taught us the value of things.
I always remember the day my dad found half a dozen cockroaches.
Cockroaches?
Cockroaches.
Cockroaches.
In my bed, he belted me ear-hole.
Ear-hole?
Ear-hole.
Ear?
Hole.
What did your dad do?
He belted me ear-hole and said, no pets allowed. But I was happy.
Oh, we were happy.
Oh, yes. You know, Ken, when I was a youngster, I had patches on everything I wore.
Patches?
Yes, patches on my jacket, on my trousers, patches on my cap. I even had patches on my underpants.
Sure.
Yes. I once walked by mistake into a fancy dress ballroom and won first prize as a quilt.
Honestly, I used to feel so ashamed. So ashamed walking down our cobble street with my granny in her clogs and straw bonnet. I mean, she could have put some other clothes on as well, couldn't she? I mean, we were happy, you see. We were happy. She always believed, like fruit shops, you put your good stuff in the front of the window. There, man. My dad used to play football with us every night. He used to kick us up and down the stairs. We were happy, yes.
Darling, do you remember some enchanted evening? It was summer, July, I think, 1951.
Oh, Cynthia, how can I forget?
You'd just come back from a sculpt jamboree.
I remember it well. In those days, I was all duffel coat and toggles.
But we were so happy.
Indeed.
Do you remember how we laughed when the pee came out of your whistle?
Who'd have ever thought it would have turned up all those years later? If I remember right, I lost me woggle that night, too.
Do you remember the velvet starry sky that night? Oh. The moon. Oh, you showed me everything.
Everything?
Everything. How to dip.
Oh, yes, of course.
Dop. How to whittle.
But that's handy. I was a tech. I was a tenderfoot.
As well. But we were happy.
Now, we're very lucky. We're very lucky to have with us today Mr. Eric Stiffett, who has just been voted the world's greatest authority on tea tasting. Mr. Stiffett, we have several blends of tea in front of you. Could you please tell us which is which?
Oh, yes, certainly. Well, that is Ceylon tea.
Ceylon tea is correct.
And this is Lapsang tea.
Yes, secondly, Lapsang tea is also correct.
Now, let me see. This last one is... I've been poisoned.
And for the third time, you're correct. It was BBC canteen tea. And now, over to a secluded garden in St. John's Wood, where that great poet, Oscar Wilde, is composing his witty epigrams.
Here, you great Irish puff! Keep your flaming tomcats off, Miss Sprout!
Shouted the woman next door.
Ah, Miss Jewis! Shut your gob and get inside, you old rutbag, before I fill you in!
Retorted Oscar wittily. Well, so much for culture. As the man said when he found a toadstool in his trousers. That was an excerpt from Canon.
Aye, there's good and bad in all of us, aye.
My wife's away on a 3 month holiday.
Oh, that's good.
No, it's bad. Today's the last day.
Oh, that's bad.
No, that's good. I found myself a girlfriend.
Oh, that's good.
No, that's bad. She's an Eskimo.
That's bad.
No, that's good. Her name's Nell.
That's good.
No, that's bad. She's married.
Oh, that's bad.
No, that's good. Her husband's away and she's invited me back to her place.
That's good.
No, that's bad. Her place is in Greenland.
That's bad.
No, that's good because none of our neighbours will find out and tell me missus.
That's good.
No, that's bad because when we got back to her igloo, she'd invited all her friends in for a traditional Eskimo evening.
That's bad.
No, that's good because the tradition was wife swapping.
That's good.
No, that's bad because the wife I got was my own. That's where she went for her holidays.
That you'll give me all your kisses every winter, every summer, every fall. When we are far apart, or when you're near me, love me with all of your heart as I love you. Don't give me your love for a moment, for an hour. Love me always as you've loved me from the start. With every beat of your heart, love me with all of your heart. That's all I want, love. Love me with all of your heart, not at all. Just promise me this, that you'll give me all your kisses every winter, every summer, every fall. When we are far apart, or when you're near me, love me with all of your heart as I love you. Don't give me your love for a moment or an hour. Love me always as you've loved me from the start. With every beat of your
to Nottingham University, where that gibbering genial genealogist, Professor Rufus Chakrabarty, has been uprooting a few family trees.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Put it away. Now, today, students, I want to tell you about wine, women, and song. Though in these days, you're lucky if it's Draftmile, Minnie Caldwell, and Hansley's and Bunch of Daisy. History has always produced men who believed in the good things in life, like Don Juan.
Why was he called Don Juan?
Well, he used to be called Don Two until he got accidentally kicked by a donkey. Me, myself, I'm what they call a gourmet. I'm a gourmet. I come from a family of long livers. Our kidneys, not up to much, but our livers.
Say, Professor, what's the best way of pouring a fine vintage wine?
Straight down your cake hole. Where do you think?
Professor, should you make wine stand?
Only for the national anthem.
Bells!
Now, students, gather around me. Places, everybody. Make a chain. Yeah. Now, students, gather around. I'm going to give you a practical demonstration on how your senses actually work.
Keep an eye on him, Gladys.
Madam, I'm going to touch you with something. Just close your eyes. Ready? Now I'm touching you. Did you feel anything?
Of course I did, you fool. My behind was on fire.
Now, that's very interesting. It proves conclusively that you are susceptible to this red-hot poker in my hand. Now, students, I want you to look at this man and notice especially what he is holding in his right hand.
Oh, I never.
Yes, a banana. Now, students, I want you to particularly notice how he is pulling the sides of it down. This is a very technical procedure called peeling a banana.
Peeling a banana.
Thank you. Now, please observe what he is going to do with it.
Oh, look. He's shoving it in his ear.
This tells me a great deal about this man. What does it tell you, students?
He's cracked up.
He's round a twist. You're all wrong. If you were as skilled and as scientifically observant as me, you'd realize this man is suffering from amnesia.
Well, do you make that out there?
He's forgotten where his mouth is.
Just suppose there was no such thing as different sexes.
Oh, how do you mean?
Well, just suppose our Stone Age ancestors had never discovered the vital difference.
Oh. Morning, Fred.
Morning.
Morning, Charlie.
Oh, good morning.
Dear Fred, I'm a bit worried about Charlie, you know.
Worried about Charlie?
What do you mean? Well, he's like a funny walk, you know. He's a well-built lad, I must admit.
Oh, you mean his chest?
Yeah, I mean, look at it. He's got a couple of ferrets up his jumper. just look at his face. Honestly, I've seen more hairs on a dinner plate. And another thing.
What's that?
Do you know, he never gets buffed in the river with the rest of the lads, you know.
Oh, well, maybe Simon. He's just gone down to the river now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, come on then. This is it. It's our chance. We can hide behind that rock.
Oh, yeah. I think he must be one of those schoolboy sopranos. Mind he doesn't see us.
No, he's not. He's got his back to us. All right, Joe. He's a well-built lad, isn't he? Cheeky devil. Hey, keep your head down. He's turning around.
Aye?
Hey.
Well, well.
Now, let that be a lesson to you, Fred. Lay off the chest expanded. Here, there's something short. Here, there's something missing. Here, there's something wrong.
Right?
Here, poor lad. Oh, poor lad.
Well. Oh, well. No wonder he gets bashed on his own one. Hey, you reckon he...
He must have done. That river's full, Pike. Shame of it all. Oh, my heart reaches out for the poor lad.
Yes,
you stay here a minute, Fred. I'll just nip down and offer him some words of comfort, like, you know.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Hey,
you stop it, you saucy monkey.
Hey, what's going on, young man? What are you wrestling for?
Wrestling? Who's wrestling? I'm just a monkey business.
This is Valentine Tomb's macabre moment of mystery. It will frighten the knickers off you.
I've been in this dungeon for 17 years, 4 months and 3 days. And all that time I haven't seen or heard from another living soul. I'm going mad. Mad. Start staring mad. Without anyone to talk to. Thank heaven, at last, some company.
Are you
prisoner 787673?
No, I'm prisoner number 787674.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I've got the wrong number. I'm very sorry.
I wonder who the hell he was knocking at this time of night.
Swap shop.
Hello there, girls. You look superb in one of our indigo brassieres. Simply clip on at the front, breathe in, and indigo. You see, in this good life, there are the believers and the disbelievers.
So there he was, juggling three reinforced concrete coal bunkers whilst an assistant drove a double-decker bus across the plank on his head.
He didn't fool me. Yeah, well, it's a knack, you know. It's a knack.
Oh, yes, well, it's all fake money. They have steel girders built into their suits. And, of course, they're muscle-bound.
They must take us for fools. I mean, it's like that fellow who jumped out of an aeroplane wearing a lead suit and carrying a concrete shed.
Plate of hand, man. All done by wires.
It's a knack. It's a knack. It's obvious. I went over to him as he lay in the hole in the ground. Mind you, it was well done. It isn't often you see a man with his head screwed right round and his feet sticking out of his waistcoat pocket.
It's a knack, man. It's a knack.
It's a knack. I poked him with my stick and I said, get up, you fraud. You're not hurt.
What did he say?
He moaned in agony. It's fake, of course.
Ventriloquism. Well, that's the secret, see? A hidden accomplice. I once saw a man lay down under a steamroller. I thought, hello, another of them.
He pretended to be flattened, of course.
Well, he had the knack of looking flattened.
Yes.
I'll give him that.
It's a knack, you know. Yeah, it's a knack. Mirrors, that's how they do it. And they soak themselves in water like a dried apricot. And it makes them fill out again. It's a knack.
Yes.
Like they did with the Titanic. That was a knack. It didn't really sink, you know.
No.
You can see that any day of the week on the Serpentine. All they did was change the name, paint the funnels a different color. Tax evasion, you know.
Yes. It is the same when Vesuvius erupted. Any silly fool can poke a volcano with Lippmann.
Of course.
They did it to avoid death duties.
Of course.
It's a knack.
Oh, it's a knack. Look how they faked World War II. You never saw any bombs, did you?
No.
You never saw any Germans?
Not a one.
All of my films.
Yes. Charlie Chaplin didn't fool me.
Yeah.
That was never Hitler, man.
No.
I once spoke to a man who produced World War I in a pub in Epping. He did it with one actor.
Photographed millions of times. Yes. They would. It's a knack, you know.
Yes.
Take us for idiots. It's like those moon landings. They were all filmed on the corporation rubbish tip at Croydon.
Look out! Mind that bus!
There they go again.
Oh, yes, I...
Clever fake, you know.
Yes, it
is. Probably projecting onto a sheet.
Yes,
it's an old trick.
I say, that almost felt like a real bus.
And this almost feels like a real broken leg. It's all done by mass hypnotism, you know. It's
a knack.
It's a knack, you know. It's a knack. What is the symbol? What is the symbol of the good things in life? A bottle? A blonde? A quick burst on the banjo? By Jove, I needed that. No, it's not wine, women, and song. It's the home, a house, somewhere to lay our heads and our feet, if it's big enough. A place where a man can be king and get crowned every night by his wife.
What is the most important room in the house?
I'd say it's the bedroom.
I think it's a bathroom, because it's the only place where you can have a good sing-song on your own without being disturbed. What can be more relaxing? A good hot bath. A long loofah. I mean, little rubber duck. This is the life.
I'm trying, gallery.
Afternoon. I come for you, window money.
Window money? Can't you see I'm the window cleaner? Can't you see I'm in the middle of my ablutions? Clear up before I shove me loofah up your hooter.
Oh, well. If that's the way you feel about it, I hope your rubber duck thinks.
Let me see. Now, where was I? Oh, yes.
All time, you ripping around.
Onward. Oh, no, it's not.
blinking fellow next door practicing his trombone in the bath. Well, I've heard of water music, but this is ridiculous.
Oi! Put a stock in it! Put a stock in it, mate! Put a stock in it!
Thank you, Vicar. That was it. I'm locking all the doors and windows. Lock the whole perishing lot. Lock the windows, lock the doors, I'll shove some cotton wool in my ears, and if anybody gets through this little lot, I'll eat my loofah. I'll eat my loofah.
I'll rip around your throat.
What the heck's this coming up under my legs? Good grief, it looks like it is. It's a perishing periscope.
Oh, mon Dieu, my mistake. Oh, I am begging your humble pardon, monsieur.
Hey, who the heck are you?
I am Jacques Cousteau, monsieur. Welcome to my wonderful world of the sea.
That is coming for nothing, Jacques, old lad.
This blooming loofah does not taste horrible.
Goodbye, everybody.
You have been listening to Ken's Art in the Great Harvest Festival of Comedy Show. Calvin Thomas did Squirrel Impressions and stored his nuts for the winter. Nice one, Squirrel. Richard Franklin said she was game, and farmer John Graham shot her. Jo Manning Wilson displayed her prize melons, and it surprised farmer Michael McLean so much he fell into the combine harvester and rotated his crops. The corn was picked by writers Dave Dutton, Norman Beadle, David McKellar, and Philip. And the show was pruned, reaped, and produced by Bobby Farmer Giles James!